Welcome to the Shir and Targum Parshas Matos. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Dr. Sonny Sauerhalf, marking the yard site of his father Benjamin Sauerhalf, which was this past Shabbos. The Neshama should have an aliyah, should see Moshe Nachas Ruach, the Torah Mitzvahs and Ma'asim Tovim that the family is involved in. Towards the beginning of Parshas Matos, we find an elaboration on a commandment that was given last week in Parshas Pinchas. The beginning of Parshas Pinchas, right after the Torah describes the zealotry, the kanos of Pinchas that spared the Jewish people, Kodesh Baruch Hu there tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Sororos haMidyanim v'kisem osam." You have to go and fight against the Midyanim on account of what they did to the Jewish people. So here in Perek Lamed Aleph, the command is repeated, and the actual execution of that command is delineated in the Torah. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Me'es HaMidyanim. Carry out the vengeance of Bnei Yisrael against the Midyanim. Achar Teyosef El HaMecha. And afterwards, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, will be gathered into your people. You'll pass away after the war is carried out against Midyan. Last week, David had asked, why are we focusing on Midyan over here? It was the daughters of Moab, who after all were primarily involved in the events that took place as described at the end of Parshas Balak, the attempts to entice the Jewish people. Yes, okay, there was one Midyanist. We saw the words of the Arachayim last week. The Arachayim says there was exactly one Midianite girl who was involved in everything that happened. That was Cosby Bas Sur. But overwhelmingly, it was the Benos Moav. So, why are we singling out the Midyanim and not focusing instead, or at least additionally, on the Moavim as being a nation that needs to be punished? So, Rashi addresses this over here. It's interesting to note, he also addresses this back in Parshas Pinchas, but he elaborates to a greater extent here in Parshas Matos, in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Beis. Rashi writes, Me'es HaMidyanim, v'lo Me'es HaMoavim. There's no command to go and fight against the people of Moav, only against the people of Midyan. Why? Shahamoavim nichnasu ladover machmas yira. The Moavim got involved because of their fear. Shehayu yireyim mehem, shu sholim osam. The Moavim were afraid that the Jewish people would come and they would despoil them. They would take their property. They would fight against them. Okay, maybe they wouldn't harm them bodily. The Pasuk says Al Totzar as Moav. The Jewish people were told not to fight against the people of Moav, but okay, maybe they come, they take their property. Shelo Nemar Elov Al Tiskar Bo Milchama. You can't wage war against them, but okay, but you can go and raid and take their property. Avo Midyanim Nisarvu Al Riv Lo Lohem. But the Midyanim were not in any immediate danger, so the fact that the Midyanim got involved over here, it was really none of their business, right? So that's Rashi's first pshat, which he brings over here, that the Midyanim were punished as opposed to the Moavim, because we could at least understand why the Moavim did what they did. We think they're wrong, but, when somebody comes, even if they do something wrong, but it's at least understandable, you don't hold it against them to the same extent. The Midyanim, who asked you to be involved? Who asked you to be involved over here, right? It's a tremendous lesson. That in the end of the day, this whole war is being waged against the Midyanim. Why? Not just that they did something wrong, but they did something wrong for no really good reason. Why did you have to get involved? Dover Acher, another interpretation, says Rashi, quotes the Gemara in Bava Kama, Mnei shtei predos tovos, sheyesh li lahotzi mehem. There are going to be two wonderful doves, so to speak. It's a metaphor. There are going to be two beautiful doves, two beautiful individuals who will come out of the people of Moav and Ammon, Rusa Moavia v'Namo HaAmonis, these two individuals who marry after converting into the Jewish people and are ultimately responsible for Moshiach Tzidkenu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically said, fundamentally, the people of Moav should have been attacked as well. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to hurt them in any way because of the fact that Rus HaMoavia would eventually emerge from the nation of Moab. Those are the two pshatim that Rashi gives over here.
Still doesn't address
Right. Okay. So, but apparently, what you see that even though it was, you know, many many Moabite girls and only one Midiani girl, nonetheless, just to focus on the first Pshat and Rashi for a moment, the fact that the Midianim got involved in something they didn't really need to get involved in is. Yeah, okay, right, something like that. So they're told to go wage war against the Midianim. It's interesting just to note over here, the term Nikol Nikmas B'nai Yisrael, you know, avenge the vengeance of B'nai Yisrael, vengeance very often has a little bit of a negative connotation, to our ears. It's, we're told in the Torah, Lo Sikom, you're not supposed to take Nekama, you're not supposed to, just give back the way you get. So here, the Targum Onkelos actually translates this in an interesting way, and I think it's an important way. Ispirapur Anus B'nai Yisrael. Let the Midianim be punished on behalf of what they did to Klal Yisrael. Punishment is different than vengeance. Right, we have a judge right here, right? I assume in the judicial setting, the judge or the jury interested in giving out punishment occasionally, once in a while. But I would assume that the jury is not interested, would not describe what they're doing as vengeance against the person. You know, there's punishment, there's punitive measures. But that's still very different than, bringing vengeance against someone. So Targum Onkelos is very careful to translate that even though in English we typically translate nekama as vengeance, and maybe it means that in certain contexts, certainly in this context, it's meant, punish the Midianim for their role, not to take vengeance. Vengeance has with a certain connotation of cruelty or wantonness, just go and give it to them. No, this is punishment for what they deserve. Fine. Vaydaber Moshe la'om le'mar. So Moshe speaks to the people and says, Hey, chotzu mi'itchem anoshim la'tzava. Go and encourage from you people to go into the army. V'yihu al midyan loseis nikmas Hashem b'midyan. They will go against the Midianim, again, to punish the Midianim on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then, what's that? It could be. So, Pasuk K, we read, Vayimosru me'alfe Yisrael elef lamata, Shneimasar elef chalutzei tzava. So from the thousands of people of Klal Yisrael, 1,000 people per Shevet were given over, Vayimosru. So it comes out there were 12,000 individuals who went out, chalutzei tzava, the Onkelos translates as mezarzei chela. They hastened to go into war. The word vayimosru is a curious one. Vayimosru is expressed in the passive voice. They were given over. They were given over from the people of Klal Yisrael to go join the army. What do you mean, they were given over? Why the passive voice? So Rashi over here beautifully writes as follows. Lo'diacho shivchon shoroa Yisrael kamohem chavivin al Yisrael. This is to tell you how beloved the leaders of the Jewish people are for the Jewish people. Ad shelo shomu b'misaso mahu omer od ma'atu skoluni. Right, when the Jewish people thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be their leader forever and ever, So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I, if they get angry at me, if they get upset at me, they're going to stone me. Umishishamu shemisas Moshe tluya benikmas midyan. But now, all of a sudden, the Jewish people are told, go wage war against the Midyanim. Achar te'osef el amecha. And afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pass away. So they say, wait a minute. We don't want to go fight against the Midyanim. Not that we're scared. Not that we're conscientious objectors or anything like that. We're not looking to get out of the army or anything like that. But we realize that the minute we go and we finish the war, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pass away. We don't want to have the death of Moshe Rabbeinu on our conscience, that we are responsible for hastening his death. So therefore, they didn't want to go out to war. Ad shenimsru al karchon, they had to be given over against their will. They had to be, so to speak, dragged to join the army. Again, not because of their fear of going into war per se, but because their reluctance to create a situation that then would culminate in the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's the passive voice. Vayimosru me'alfei Yisrael. They were given over. They were dragged. They were forced from Klal Yisrael to go join the war.
Yes, aside, but why was it important for that to be part of the command for Moshe to do? In other words, right? Hashem commanded him to lay more, I guess, to tell them in Yisrael to go mitzmas.
Right, and why does he even have to share that with Klal Yisrael? In other words, that's in parentheses to tell the Moshe Rabbeinu.
It doesn't even say what, in the next one, Gimel, what Moshe told him, he doesn't say anything there, right.
Right. Okay, maybe. Maybe. But the first question is, why should the two things be haba hatalia? Why should they be dependent one upon the other? In other words, you're going to take revenge against the Midyanim, and that's the last thing you're going to do. Right? First of all, that's not entirely true. I mean, there's this sefer called Dvarim, you know, that comes after Bamidbar, where Moshe Rabbeinu has a lot of time before he passes away. So maybe it means achar teyosef el amecha, meaning this is going to be the last significant campaign you're going to be involved in. What's Sefer Dvarim? Sefer Dvarim is basically a very, very long drasha that Moshe Rabbeinu gives to Klal Yisrael. Okay, so for drashas we have time, but you know, for campaigns, this is going to be it. Right, but again, so why is that so important to give over to Moshe Rabbeinu, and why is that so important for Moshe Rabbeinu to give over to Klal Yisrael? So, in other words, he's demonstrating a level of emunah b'tochen to Klal Yisrael. In other words, I want you to know, the truth is, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't tell him to give this over to Klal Yisrael. It sounds like he shared this information on his own. And why did he do so? To be an object lesson to Klal Yisrael. In other words, look, I Moshe Rabbeinu could say, you know, we'll get to this in the next meeting. You know, we'll put this on the agenda for the meeting that's going to be a year and a half from now. You know, we'll get to this eventually. He didn't do that, right? He was Mizdares. He ran, he did it, and he felt it was important enough to share that with Klal Yisrael to learn from him, to learn from his example. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, this is the way it is. I think, you can definitely say that. That's, and then it becomes a very powerful lesson, and emuna bitachon, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself is basically teaching over to Klal Yisrael, 100%. So that's Rashi's interpretation. It's based on a Sifri. The Targum Unculus seems to have a different understanding of Vayimosru. The Targum Unculus writes, V'isbicharu, and they were chosen, me'alfayo di Yisrael. In other words, the fact that it uses the passive voice doesn't indicate reluctance, it just indicates a different method of choosing the people who would go to war. They were drafted. It wasn't the volunteer army. They were drafted. Again, some of the Makaros talk about how there was a goral. There was a lottery that was used, like a draft, you know, to figure out who was going to be chosen. So Vayimosru me'alfei Yisrael just simply means not that they were reluctantly, you know, dragged to the battlefield, but just, you know, they were chosen as opposed to choosing themselves. The Yonasan ben Uziel gives a little bit of a twist, which I think is also a little bit different than Rashi, similar to the Targum Unculus, but also I think significantly different. V'isbecharu guvrin sadikin. Righteous people were chosen. Now, that lechora is not based on a goral, unless you have a very, very special kind of lottery that only chooses tzaddikim. Again, they had very special lotteries, so, you know, we shouldn't dismiss that out of hand. But it seems like the Targum Yonos of Nuzil is giving a different way of explaining vayimosru, meaning, why was it passive? Because, you know, what righteous person is going to step up to the plate and say, well, I'm a tzaddik, so I'm going to go out to war, right? In other words, you know, the people were not allowed to volunteer themselves. They had to be chosen. Again, not chosen by a goro, not chosen against their will, but chosen because of their character traits. And who would, you know, who are they to say about themselves that they're such tzaddikim that they're deserving to go out to war? But again, because this is a very, very special war, Davkut tzaddikim should be fighting it. And then the Targum Yonos of Nuziel goes on to give the following: Umisaru nafshahon me'alfayo di Yisrael, and they gave over themselves from the thousands of Israel. In other words, vayimosru, right? The fact that the pasuk says they were given over has this double meaning. Not only were they chosen in the passive sense, but saying vayimosru as opposed to vayimsuru, they, you know, someone gave them, they were given over, implies the degree of self-sacrifice, of mesiras nefesh, that they were ready to engage in this particular war. Right? This idea that seems to be expressed over here by the Yonos ben Uziel is echoed by the Bala Turim. Shemosru nafsh atzmam al kedushas Hashem lahatzolas Yisrael. Right? The Bala Turim again writes this idea of vayimosru me'alfa Yisrael. They gave themselves over for the salvation of Klal Yisrael al kedush Hashem. You know, there was a tremendous degree of mesiras nefesh that was involved in this particular war. Fine. So the next pasuk describes how they went out to war. Vayishlachu sa Moshe elef lamata latzava. Moshe sent them out. Osam v'yes Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen latzava. Pinchas went out to war. Uchlei HaKodesh. He went with the holy vessels. V'chatzotzu satruo biyodo. And he took the chatzotzros, he took the trumpets as well. What are the Klei HaKodesh? What are these holy vessels? So Rashi writes, Ze ha'aron v'hatzitz. This refers to the aron and the tzitz, the head plate of the Kohen Gadol. They're both referred to as Kodesh, earlier in the Chumash. The Yonos ben Uziel over here writes that the Klei HaKodesh refers to Urayo v'tumayo, refers to the Urim v'tumim, that he took out the Choshen Mishpat together with him. They fight. And then in Pasuk Ches we read, Yes, Malchei Midian horugu al chaluleihem. They killed the kings of Midian on top of all of the other victims, in addition to all of the other Midianite victims. Who were these five kings of Midian? As Evi, as Rekam, as Tzur, as Chur, as Reva, Chameshes Malchei Midian. These were the five kings of Midian who were all killed. V'es Bilam ben Ba'or horugu b'chariv. And they killed Bilam ben Ba'or, who we learn all of a sudden from the Chumash was apparently in Midian with the camp of the Midianim, right? From the Pshat in the Chumash, it's not exactly clear how he ended up over there, but okay, but he's obviously there. They killed Bilam ben Ba'or with a cherev, with a sword. Now, Rashi gives us a whole story about the deaths of these five kings, as well as the death of Bilam. And we'll see, the Yonos ben Uziel brings a very, very similar type of story. But again, we'll see, I think there's significant differences between the way Rashi tells over the story and the way the Yonos ben Uziel tells over the story. We had previously quoted Rashi on the Pasuk Klei HaKodesh, where Rashi says that Pinchas brought out the Aron and the Tzitz into war. What did he do with the Aron and the Tzitz? So Rashi there continues as follows. Shahaya Bilam imahem. As we just learned, Bilam was apparently together with the camp of the Midianim. Umafriach Malchei Midian b'kshafim. And Bilam, as a sorcerer, caused the five kings of Midian to fly up into the air to stay protected. I guess he figured if they're up in the air, so, you know, the Jewish people, they're not going to be able to hurt them. V'hu atzmo poreach imoim. And then Bilam said, you know, it looks nice up there. I'll go fly in the air and join you as well. We'll all be beyond the ability of the Jewish people to harm any of us. You know, he didn't want to do that apparently for all the Midianim, but executive privilege, you know, the five kings and Bilam go up into the sky and they're safe. Her Elohim es atzitz. Pinchas displayed the tzitz in the direction of the five kings and Bilam. Shashem chakuk bo. The name of God is engraved upon the tzitz. Vehem noflim. And they all fell down, the five kings and Bilam. Lochach nemar al chalaleihem b'malche Midyan. Shenoflim al chalolim min ho'avir. Vehem b'bilam. Ksiv el chalaleihem b'sefer Yehoshua. Therefore, says Rashi, we can understand when the Pasuk says that the five kings of Midian were killed al chalaleihem, on the other victims. The simple pshat is that the word al means in addition to all the other victims of the war, so the five kings of Midian were also killed. Rashi, based on this medrash, says al literally means on top of. In other words, you know, the Jews had gone through, they had killed so many victims from the people of Midian. The five kings in Bilam were flying up on top. Pinchas used the tzitz to miraculously bring them down and kill them. And, you know, they died on top of the other victims, literally on top of the other victims as they fell, you know, from the sky. And Bilam, it seems, according to Rashi, met a similar fate. He was also brought down. You know, and Rashi quotes the Pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua, where it also describes how Bilam was killed al chalaleihem, again on top of their victims. A similar, but again, as I pointed out, not identical and somewhat more elaborate version of the story, you know, the five flying kings, is described at length in the Yonasan ben Uziel in Pasuk Ches. So let's read this. The kings of Midian were killed together with those killed from their camp. Yos Evi, Vios Rekem, Vios Tsur, Hu Balak. Right, as we saw last week, Tsur, the third king mentioned, is actually Balak. Balak is the father of the Midianis, of Cosby Bas Tsur. Vios Kor, Vios Reva, Chameshis Malchim Midian. Vios Bilam Bar Be'or, Ketolu B'Siyafa. Right, and they killed Bilam with the sword. Now he goes on to explain what happened. V'havo kevo duchamo Bilam chayovo yos Pinchos kahano rodov min basroi. When the wicked Bilam saw Pinchas the Kohen chasing after him, Avad Milso de Kusmin, so Bilam performed sorcery, Uparach Ba'avir Shemaya, and he flew up to the heavens. Midyad Idkar Pinchas Shma Rabba Vikadisha. Right away, Pinchas mentioned the great and holy name of Hashem. Uparach basroi. So Pinchas said, took him play at that game, and he flew into the air as well. Now again, this is different than Rashi. Rashi talks about Pinchas using the tzitz to bring Bilam and the five kings down. Here, the Yonos HaMenuziel, there's no tzitz, right, which is l'shitaso. In other words, according to the Yonos HaMenuziel, the tzitz was not brought into battle. It was the Urim V'tumim that were brought into battle. I guess the Urim V'tumim don't make you can't bring people down from the heavens. I don't know how that works exactly, but whatever. But the tzitz apparently can make Pinchas fly as well. So Pinchas goes up and he flies, and he continues the pursuit in the air. Va'achte bireshe, va'achse. So Pinchas grabbed Bilam by his head, and he brought him down. He dragged him down back to the ground. Shlof saifa. Uboy lemikdale. So Pinchas pulled out a sword and he was ready to kill Bilam. Right? He dragged him down to earth. He couldn't get away. He had a sword. Fine. Pasach pume b'militachanunim. Bilam opened his mouth and began to plead for his life with Pinchas. Va'amar le'Pinchas. He said to Pinchas, Intekayim yos nafshi. If you keep me alive, Mishtaban Allah, I swear to you, the choyom and dano kayom, as long as I'm alive, less anom alotid yasamach, I will never, ever, ever, ever curse your people. You don't have to worry about me cursing your people ever again. Just let me live. Aneva omar le. Pinchas responded, and he said to Bilam, Halo antu lovon aramo'o. What do you mean? I should trust you? You are Lavan Ho'arami. Right, we spoke last week about how many of the characters over here have a double identity. Right, that Tzur is really Balak, and Pinchas is really Eliyahu. So now we have yet another identity, right? So Bilam is really Lavan. You are Lavan. You're the self-same person as Lavan. And Lavan didn't exactly, wasn't so nice to Klal Yisrael. You wanted to destroy Yaakov Avinu, right? Love and bikesh lakor sakol. Unachasta lemitzrayim, right? And you went down to Mitzrayim, begin lemov dozare, in order to destroy his children. What does that mean? That's the medrash that Bilam was one of the advisors that Paro had, and he was the one advisor who advised Paro to subjugate the Jewish people in Mitzrayim to do terrible things to them. Where did that come from? Basically, after Lavan saw that he couldn't kill Yaakov, up in Haran, he went to the local post office, he changed his name, moved down to Mitzrayim, and said, if I couldn't kill him up in Haran, I'm going to go kill him and his descendants down in Mitzrayim. Umin Basin and Fakum in Mitzrayim. And when that didn't work, and the Jewish people got out of Mitzrayim, Gorisa Bahon Amalek Rashia, you were the one who encouraged the evil Amalek to go and fight against the Jewish people. Uchadun Itagarto Itagara Lemelot Yasom. And just now, you were trying to curse them. V'kevo de Chamisa de lo Ahanyu Avodach. Once you saw that your attempts to curse them were unsuccessful, and you saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not responding, you encourage this evil king Balak, who is none other than Tzur, the king of Midian, to go send his own daughter to act as a prostitute to entice the Jewish people. Unefalo begin Cain Minahon Esrin Varba Alfin. And 24,000 people died in a plague as a result, as described in the end of Parshas Balak. Begin Cain Les Efshar Tuv Lumakayu Yafs Nafshach. I'm sorry. There are no further chances. Basically, you've been pursuing Klal Yisrael for centuries at this point. There's nothing to talk about. What do you mean, give me another chance? You know how many other chances you've had already? It's enough. Uminyad shalaf siyafe min take of a kaple. So Pinchas right away pulled his sword out of his sheath, and he dispatched Bilam, aka Lavan, to the next world. Right? That's the way the story is described. Again, very very dramatically by the Yonasan ben Uziel. Not exactly the way Rashi describes it. Again, but there are elements. It's a different medrash. There are elements also of the flying that we have. What's that? Doesn't sound like he's a Gilgal. I mean, again, the simple pshat of Yonos of Benuziel is he was the same person with longevity and a different name. But, you know, it's basically connect the dots. In other words, when we say by the Haggadah Shel Pesach, love on Bikesh Lakoris Hakol, right? So, this again, there's a lot of discussion in the Mefarshim and the Haggadah. How is that? Where do we see that love on Bikesh Lakoris Hakol? According to the Yonos of Benuziel, it's very simple. Love on equals Bilam. Lavan tries to undermine Yaakov in Haran. He advises to enslave the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. He sends Amalek against the Jewish people, tries to curse the Jewish people, and tries to entice the Jewish people for Znus at the end of Parshas Balak. Yeah, Bikish Lakaris Hakol, over and over again. It's Bilam who's involved in these terrible events, and Bilam is none other than Lavan HaRasha. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos Yisrael, Lefikach, hirbo lahem Torah umitzvos, shenemar, Adonai.